Welcome to another episode of Disrupt, brought to you by Home Healthcare News and Home Care Homebase. I'm Patrick Philbin with Home Healthcare News. Before we jump into my conversation with Pathwell co-founder and CEO Raman Brar, a quick word from our sponsor. The challenge to attract, hire, and retain top talent has never been tougher. That's why, now more than ever, you need Home Care Homebase on your side. Our industry-leading software is known, used, and loved by thousands of home-based nurses and clinicians who want quick, convenient software to complete their documentation at the patient's bedside, not at home on their own time. Experienced clinicians on the job hunt are now asking for us by name. So if you're looking for the best people out there, visit hchb.com today and learn more. Pathwell, a home health company based in Connecticut, started as a technology company with the goal to help other operators with back-end issues. When COVID-19 hit, Brar and Pathwell decided to change the direction of the company to become a provider itself. Over the past 2 years, Pathwell has grown into a multi-state provider through expansion and acquisitions. Brar entered into home health after spending most of his career in private equity, and is now focused on doubling down on a busy and financially successful 2021. I recently caught up with Raman to talk about the company's growth plans, the incoming home health value-based purchasing model, his plans for Pathwell in the year ahead, and the future of healthcare. Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening. Today on Disrupt, we have Pathwell co-founder and CEO Raman Brar on the line. Raman, welcome to Disrupt.
Thanks, Patrick. Excited.
Okay, so going to touch on a number of different things in our conversation today, but I wanted to start at a pretty pivotal moment for your company, and that was the change of direction the company took when COVID-19 hit. So could you explain the shift and what kind of company was Pathwell at the onset of the virus, and what kind of company it is now?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we really got started around. That was really the beginning of our journey in many ways. But historically, as a team, we were focused on being a solution provider to the broader in-home care space, not just home health, hospice, or home care as it's codified, but just broader space working with health plans. And as COVID hit, we just saw an opportunity to really eat our dog food, for lack of a better term, just because we had a lot of conviction in what the industry needed. And we decided to focus in on actually being in the operations ourselves, and got started with our first acquisition of a home healthcare agency in Southern Connecticut in Fairfield County.
And once you made that switch, how were you able to grow the company into what it is today?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the first area of focus was kind of the lowest hanging fruit mentality. So streamlining the backend operations, recruiting HR, finance, you know, revenue cycle management, doing compliance and OASIS review in a very sort of top quality way, which really allowed our clinicians to focus on growth, accepting referrals, concentrating on, you know, proper case management. All that sort of allows focus and really kind of focus around delivering quality care, and that supports growth ultimately.
Right. And so what would you say Pathwell's growth goals are for the near-term future?
And the immediate sort of, again, two-pronged. We are an acquisition platform, as you know well, but that's certainly secondary. The primary goal always is to grow organically in our existing markets. So we're predominantly, well, we're basically in two markets today, Southern Connecticut, and then the northern sort of northwestern Virginia, and then sort of the northeastern West Virginia market, if you will. So they're both contiguous markets, and we're really focused on executing our back-end operations, as I mentioned, and really letting the clinicians, the sales team, and the intake team focus on growing the census.
Okay. And a lot of the acquisitions Pathwell has made seem to be borderless when it comes to the geographical footprint of the deals. Is that a conscious decision you guys make?
Yeah, you know, today we're really kind of two markets, as I mentioned. So getting started. But, you know, you bring up a good point. Our philosophy on acquisitions and just general growth of the platform is we certainly want to have a, you know, there's a density angle to it, and then there's a, sort of there's a density play, and then there's a pair driven play, right? So from a density perspective, any market we're in, we're sort of squarely focused on growing that market by building relationships with our referral partners, getting as many clinicians as we can sort of in the dense region, and then serving the patients and capturing market share. So that's one aspect. And in addition to organic growth, we'll continue to look at smaller acquisitions in our existing markets, and we'll do anything, you know, no business is too small, you know, acqui-hires to bigger businesses in our existing markets. But to your point about looking outside of the existing markets, you know, we approach that from a really from a payer angle. As you know, as well as, you know, anybody, Medicare Advantage is taking share from Medicare. So we are very cognizant of being the first mover in working with the payers, right? And so we're looking at the payer universe and scanning and seeing, you know, what is United Healthcare's approach? What's Humana thinking? You know, what's Blue Cross Blue Shield doing? Aetna, Kaiser, and forming our view in terms of how they are looking at home healthcare as a, you know, way of providing a service to the patients, and how do we fit in with them? And we're just trying to be sort of early on in that sort of journey, which we think everybody will be, you know, we'll all be talking about that a lot more in the coming years.
Right. And you mentioned getting into the Medicare Advantage space and just kind of surveying the land. And I was interested to know if there was any particular deal or acquisition or partnership that you felt defined the busy 2021 year that Pathwell had. Because it seemed like, you know, that's when you made a lot of jumps and progress and a lot of deals. So was there any in particular deal or acquisition that you felt defined that busy year?
Yeah, I mean, we did make a pretty important acquisition in the Virginia, West Virginia market, you know, as you alluded to earlier. And that was very much in line with what we learned in 2020 as we entered the market, understanding sort of competitive dynamics within market. So it's a really interesting market. We have a meaningful kind of market share in those two, Martinsburg, West Virginia, and Winchester, Virginia, and we're expanding from there. So that was certainly, from an acquisition perspective, a pretty pivotal year. But even beyond that, you know, we spent a lot of time on the organization build, et cetera, in 2021. So a big year for us, for sure.
And the last time we chatted, you also mentioned the number of really important hires for Pathwell that helped drive growth. How did those contribute to the growth strategy for Pathwell?
Yeah, look, I mean, lucky to have a really good team. We're a curious bunch who love technology and are passionate about growth. You know, in terms of our team, I think you've met my partner Andrew. He oversees the operations, including finance, and really his role is to ensure that clinicians are focused on what they do best, right? Taking care of the patients. Kelly joined us in early last year as well, in 2021. So again, making that year special. She is a lifelong home healthcare, you know, nurse, and just passionate about the space. So her role is really, if I had to kind of define one goal, preventing hospitalizations, right? And it sort of, she oversees all clinical operations. So, you know, she and Andrew work very closely. And underneath them also, we brought a couple of good people. So we hired a director of finance, we hired a director of HR. And director of HR, you know, Dave Bigham, you know, he came from a hospital system up in the Connecticut, New York market. That's key, right? As we're just so focused on recruiting and HR compliance, especially as we grow, newer states have different regulations. So that's the bench today. Very strong team, certainly, you know, bigger, you know, they can punch way above our current size. So we're excited to kind of pump more volume, both organically as well as through acquisitions.
Very nice. And shifting gears a little bit towards labor and staffing, a lot of people I've spoken to in the industry have told me about some pretty unique recruitment tools they're deploying as they try to hire more employees in a still, you know, pretty tough hiring environment. What is Pathwell doing to address those issues, and have things gotten better of late?
Like anybody else, you know, we saw a pretty tough market from a recruiting perspective and just overall labor dynamics perspective with the Omicron wave. But, you know, those things will happen. And in terms of, you know, the tools, technology, look, we pride ourselves on using the best in class tools that exist in the marketplace. So that's kind of, again, a lower hanging fruit. But above and beyond that, it's really about how do we approach, you know, sort of recruiting. And short of any regulatory changes, you know, that the politicians need to kind of work on and unlocking the supply of clinicians, you know, there's not much you can do in terms of the existing supply. So the things we're doing are, we're looking at it really like any sales organization, right? So you look at your, we're trying to sell the clinicians to come work with us. And that's really lead gen as well as then conversion and then finally retention. So, and we use sort of the best in class tools. We use all the modalities, texting, email, you know, the social media platforms for outreach. So we're not just waiting for people to come to us. We're reaching out to them, selling our value proposition. Why is it better to work with Pathwell versus a national big carrier where they might feel like a small cog in a wheel? And that's worked out well for us. You know, we've picked up some really quality clinicians with home healthcare experience. So converting these people who engage with us. And then finally, you know, retention is huge. Keeping existing employees engaged. And, you know, we're a big family and that, you know, being sort of that high touch work culture helps. We know our clinicians, we know the nurses, therapists, you know, we're catering to their needs. If they need flexibility with the times, with geography, we work around with them. So those are some of the things we've been focused on.
Very nice. And you also mentioned to me in the past that Pathwell still wants to be able to partner with other larger legacy agencies. And I was curious what you think and what you kind of believe the value of those peer-to-peer partnerships are and what can Pathwell provide to them?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact conversation, but our focus right now predominantly is on organic growth in existing markets and acquiring other businesses, other agencies that are very strategic and predominantly from a peer contract perspective, right? So that remains focused, but to your question, look, we have a really good backend function. You know, QA, Oasis QA and coding and just compliance is one of those functions that we've worked with, currently work with a few other agencies as a vendor to them. So, you know, that continues to be there. We're not putting a lot of proactive effort on that front, but happy to work with friendlies, you know, that have a similar philosophy as us on how to run the clinical operations and happy to sort of expand our team and offer our services to them. So that's one area. And the other area is, you know, especially on the home care and hospice side, you know, we in our existing markets today, we don't offer those two services. So we partner up with the agencies that we think are quality and sending referrals to them for hospice or even home care where needed. And they work with us in some ways, in similar ways.
Right. I could see that. Yes. Well, and shifting gears just a little bit here again, what is Pathwell doing to prepare for HHVBP?
That's obviously the that's very top of mind. You know, as you know very well, the total performance score is what's going to drive the sort of the penalties or the bonuses with the HHVBP. And really, it's a function of three things. You know, looking at your OASIS documentation, you know, HCAP scores, and finally, the sort of the claims data. So thinking about all those three items, you know, we already are very good, as I mentioned, you know, in our backend team on the OASIS kind of compliance and front is really, really good. So and on that front, it's really ongoing education on components of, you know, HHVBP that'll impact the quality scores and reimbursements. We're really focused on data and measurement. If you're not benchmarking, you know, things properly and analyzing the data, you're going to struggle under the sort of the new payment model. And then finally, it's not just it's the improvement as well as the magnitude of improvement that matters under HHVBP. So really focused on being precise in measurements and clinical answers to the OASIS questions. On the, you know, the HCAP front, obviously training, you know, we're always revisiting our orientation sort of process and adding more ongoing learning to it. And actually, unlike a lot of other agencies, we use our, you know, back in QA team to work closely with the clinicians for ongoing training as well. And then finally, on the claims front, right, it's all about reducing ER hospitalization after the patient has been discharged from us. So we already had some dedicated programs and we're adding to the dedicated programs and communicating that to the physicians, our referral partners on, you know, what are we doing in terms of going above and beyond the visits in the plan of care to ensure that the patient is, you know, not being rehospitalized. It's obviously everything on our end, as well as, you know, building trust with the physician, communicating data as well as, you know, triggers to the physician if we feel, you know, they need to pay attention to the patient. And, you know, any hospitalization event we can avoid, that's a huge win for all parties involved. So very focused on that. And I think that's going to be big under HHVBP.
Definitely. And aside from HHVBP, what are other regulatory topics that may be on your radar as we get closer to 2023?
There's a lot. Broadly speaking, I think Medicare Advantage taking market share is certainly top of mind. And what does that mean from a regulation perspective? You know, one of the things I know you guys have covered this a lot is like patients maintaining access to care, that might be hindered by as Medicare Advantage takes over the market share, right? So what are, and there was obviously the OIG sort of report that was published, you know, that was pretty critical of the MA plans. So we're looking at that space closely. You know, how do the rules of engagement change from a MA plans perspective in terms of reimbursements, et cetera? So the patients that are covered by Medicare Advantage instead of Medicare, they are on parity with their Medicare, you know, sort of comps in terms of getting equal quality service. So how does that play out from a regulatory environment? I think we're pretty focused on understanding that.
That makes sense. And so given Pathwell's background as an agency that both provides care and helps others provide care, what do you think most needs to be adjusted in the industry to make the experience better for providers and patients overall?
I guess I'll answer that question both from, you know, what can we do to help as well as what we think generally the industry needs. Certainly from our vantage point, you know, we think our strength is in bringing the best sort of tools, processes, sort of the very data technology centric operating model to the table. So to an extent, we work with any third party agencies to help improve their operations. That's what we bring to the table. And ultimately, that allows the clinicians to do what they do best, take care of patients, reduce hospitalizations. And, you know, that's sort of the winning formula. Outside of that, I think labor supply, there's only so much you can do. We need more nurses, we need more therapists. So I think that's an area which, and to answer your question, you know, that is sort of what the industry needs to find a solution to. And we need some big solutions there. You know, is it immigration, specialty visas, and a more sort of budget allocation to training and, you know, bringing people to these fields. You know, those are areas we're pretty focused on seeing what big moves are being made on those lines to bring more nurses and therapists to home healthcare.
Right. Just kind of big picture and maybe looking ahead, but is there a prediction that you have for the industry over the next 4 years that you, I don't know if feel confident in is the right words, but just kind of something that's on your radar, any kind of prediction that you might see as you kind of look ahead?
I'll probably state the very obvious one. Again, Medicare Advantage, right? They are gaining share very fast. And I don't think they fully appreciate the value of home healthcare in lowering their MLRs, their medical loss ratios, because we really do reduce hospitalizations, and hospitalizations are expensive, right? So as they start appreciating it through, you know, they're getting more and more, their book of business is more and more managed care directly as well as through intermediaries like ACO REACH programs. As they get closer to the care delivery, and I strongly believe they're going to start appreciating the value of home health care, and that's going to be huge for the industry.
Right. It has to be. I agree. Well, Raman, I think we have just a minute or two left, and I was just curious if there was anything else you'd like to talk about before we close the book on this Disrupt episode?
Thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, always happy to talk to you guys and learn a lot from you guys. But the only kind of the final comment I'd make is just, you know, a ton of gratitude to our clinicians, nurses, therapists, even caregivers, you know, who are out there in the field driving every day, taking care of our loved ones. You know, for me, they're the true heroes. And everything we've talked about today is really should be viewed through the lens of kind of celebrating them, empowering them, making their lives easier. It all sort of goes back to the clinicians who are taking care of the patients. And, you know, everything else we do is just to support them. So just a big sort of thanks to them.
Absolutely. Well, that's Raman Brar, co-founder and CEO of Pathwell. Raman, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Disrupt.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Patrick Philbin, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.